Okay, I got some people who want the good news first. Raise your hand if you want the good news first. Go ahead. Be honest on this one. Raise your hand if you want the good news first. All right? All right? Now, some people would rather get the bad news first and get it over with and then polish it off with the good news. How many of you guys are in that camp? You want the bad news first? That's me! I'd rather just go ahead and be straight with me. Give me the bad news. Let me get it out of the way. Let me know what this is going to cost me. Because I believe after that point, then I can handle the decision that I got to make. Not saying one's right, one's wrong. But here's the deal. We definitely need to be realistic about this walk with Jesus. And I'm just going to tell you, I don't know how many of you guys have figured this one out. I should get an amen to this statement. It's not always easy. Do I get an amen on that one? We're going to have to go through some times of valleys. Okay, it's not all mountaintops for us, guys. But I want you to know that God that met you on the mountain is the same God that's going to walk with you through the valley. He's got a will. He's got a desire. And here's my favorite verse. How many of you guys know my favorite verse? How many could tell me what my favorite verse is? I've said it a gazillion times. All right? I got one out there. Romans 8:28. Okay? For we know, and that's the way I love to start that one, is the way that it's written. For we know that all things work to the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Guys, I'm going to tell you, I got to know that. Otherwise, I can't face this life. I got to know that. And here's the next one. I need to know that all things. That word all is huge right there. Because I know some of the things we're going through are hard. Some of them are not good in and of themselves, just by themselves. But it's going to work towards your good, and it's conditional. So long as you continue to love God and that you're one of the ones that's called according to His purpose. So here's the deal. If you're part of God's family and you're going through a hard time, what you need to do is just love God all the more, and then you can be absolutely guaranteed, 100% guaranteed, it's going to work out for your good in the end. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that's what Paul was doing. That's how Paul lived. And we're going to read about his life here a little bit. Acts chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. So, just follow along with me in your Bibles as we read this, and then we'll get into some points that we're going to draw out of this Scripture. Now, it came to pass that when we had departed from them and set sail, running a straight course, we came to Cos, following day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went abroad, set sail. When we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, sailed to Syria, and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload her cargo. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul, through the Spirit, not to go up to Jerusalem. When we had come to the end of those days, we departed and went on our way, and they all accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we knelt down on the shore and prayed. When we had taken our leave of one another, we boarded the ship, and they returned home. And when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, greeted the brethren, and stayed with them 1 day. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea, and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Y'all remember Philip? Philip was the one who met the Ethiopian out in the desert that we were just talking about during the baptism. He was also the one who went to Samaria, and he was preaching there, and man, they had a great revival going on there right in Samaria. This is the same Philip. Now, this man had 4 virgin daughters who prophesied. I want you all to know that as you live for Christ, it affects your whole family, okay? Do you call a blessing on your home by right living in Christ and a right relationship with Him? I'm going to tell you, it's going to bless your children and everybody. This guy's daughters were all prophesying. And I think it was because of his life being anointed by God and him living for God. Verse 10, and as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Now when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. Let us pray. Dear God, I just pray your will would be done in our lives. Oh, Lord, that needs to be our number one prayer. Lord, sometimes we think we know how things should work out, but Lord, help us to know your plans are higher than our plans. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Lord, you know things from the beginning to the end, things we can't yet see. Lord, you know it all, and you know exactly what you have as a desire for us. So I pray that we would depend on you as Paul did. And so, Lord, we're going to explore the way that his friends were responding to the leading of the Holy Spirit and the way Paul responded to the leading of the same Holy Spirit today, and realize they were both right. Both of them are right, because your Holy Spirit is always right. And so, Lord, please show us today what you have in store for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, so as we think about this, power of God to know the cost and continue on, that's what God calls us to do. He calls us to go into it with our eyes open, and he shows us what we need to know as we need to know it. Do you ever hear the old saying, you know, you're on a need-to-know basis? Right now, you don't need to know. Sometimes that's the way it is with God. There was only one thing Paul knew, and he said it back in chapter 19, verse 21. He knew that it was time for him to return to Jerusalem and then from there to Rome. That's what he knew. And he was bound in the Spirit to do it. He was persuaded by the Spirit to do it. But the first step for all of us is that step of salvation. Do I get an amen to that? We can't really even really get started in this relationship of doing the Lord's will until we get that part right. Until we get that part figured out. And that's, you know, these camps, I got to lead at least one boy to the Lord this week. And I know he's starting a new journey right now from this point on with the Lord. Got to lead a lot of other children and different young people in different prayers of dedication, different issues going on in their life. Here's my, all right, this is a little side note. I got to take a minute to say this. I just want to tell you, out of all the counseling I did, I counseled multiple teens who were discouraged in their faith because their parents weren't really following the Lord. I just want you to know, guys, other teens told me as well how discouraged that they had gotten because of the way that they saw other adults not following the Lord, that were proclaiming something with their mouth, but they weren't living it in their life. So I want you guys to know something. It really matters what we do. It really matters what we do. There are more people watching us than what you realize. And that's not a bad thing. You know, sometimes you think, well, I'm not going to say anything because they don't really care what I think. If you ever thought that before, raise your hand if you've ever thought that. Guys, I'm going to tell you, it matters. And I tell you, what matters more than anything is that it matters to them that they know that you care about Jesus and that you care about righteousness and that you care about them. And if you get those two dots connected, I can tell you, you have influence in their life. I can tell you that I truly believe that a whole lot of people wouldn't be in prison today for some of the bad choices that they've made if somebody who was a Christian would have taken an interest in their life and lived out their Christianity in that child's life. We got Brother Steve that told me today that they have signs of a great revival starting in the prison. Hey, we say praise the Lord, but I'm also going to say that for some, it would be a whole lot better if we caught them before they went into prison. Amen? And I think that how we live and the way we live says something huge to these young people. I'm going to tell you, I was only the parent of two of the young people who were actually in the camp out there. But I got to be an influence in the life of many young people. Because, guys, and I'll tell you, most of those young people didn't come talk to me till Thursday or Friday. They wanted to see if I was for real. And I'm telling you, there are all kinds of people, and some of them may even be older than you, that are watching your life and they're wondering how you're going to respond and react to the things that are going on in your life to see if your Christianity is real. And once they find out it is, they're going to come find you whenever they need answers. It is very important that we live this thing out. And here's one of the things that we got to understand about this, guys. Salvation in and of itself, first slide. Salvation's free, but it's going to cost us everything. Do I get an amen to that? Do you understand that point? We get so into free grace that we turn it into cheap grace. And I'm just going to tell you, it ain't cheap. It cost an enormous amount. It cost the life of the Son of God on the cross. That salvation is free to us to receive, but we have got to be willing to turn our life over to Jesus. That's what I mean by it cost you everything. Guys, he even said, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Guys, I'm not making this stuff up. I'm not trying to make it more difficult than what it is. I'm just telling you that whenever you say, Lord Jesus, what you're in essence are saying is, Jesus is more important than anything else in my life. Jesus is more important than even my very own life. Because he goes on to say, he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He's saying die to our life. And here's the deal, guys. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for Jesus' sake, for my sake, will find it. You want real life? You got to be willing to lay it down, your very own life. Just lay it on the altar and say, here I am, Jesus. I'm surrendering everything to you. That's the moment you'll find true life. Can I get a witness in here? I got at least one. Guys, I say, if you've ever experienced this, say praise the Lord right now. Praise the Lord. I can tell you the most excruciating night of my life was the night that I surrendered my heart to Jesus. But I can tell you, I've never regretted it. In fact, in Luke, he goes on to have a similar discourse. Jesus says to count the cost. He says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now there, we've got to understand that context. Jesus don't want us to just go out and hate people. But what he's saying is, in comparison to your love for him, he's got to come first. He's got to come first. And he said, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not set down first and count the cost whether he has enough to finish it? And he goes on to talk about how, you know, you're going to be a bad witness if you start that tower and you don't have what it takes to finish it. And you know, guys, I think there's a lot of people discouraged about Jesus because of people that started a tower and they didn't really have all their life in there to finish it. And so do we still have a chance? We may be the person who started the tower and realized, oh my goodness, I started with Jesus, but I've gotten really derailed. Here's the deal, guys. It's not over. You still got a chance. Jesus has never said, well, if you come back to me, I'm going to turn you away. No, in fact, he said, anyone who comes to me, I will not cast them away. And so even if that means you've started your tower and you've gotten off track and you've been off building your own tower over here and your own thing, your own kingdom, and you forgot about him, just return today. Say, Jesus, I'm sorry I got distracted. I'm back reporting for duty. Let's finish that tower together. Because you see, guys, even the person he goes on to talk about there in Luke, if a person's decided to wage war, he counts the cost. He looks, do I really have an army that I can be a formidable opponent here that I can win this thing? We don't go into the battle figuring on losing, right? How many people would do that? Yeah, I'm going to go out and battle today and I plan on losing big, man. I am going to blow it. You know, no, we all want to win. Well, I can tell you, one plus God wins every time. We have got to just make sure we've got our whole life on the altar. In fact, many of you already know these verses, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Can anybody tell those to me? Somebody look them up. Or by the mercies of God. Which is your reasonable service. Yeah. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, guys, God has a plan for us the very moment, even before that moment that we surrender our heart to Jesus. He wants to transform us. He wants us to become more like Him in each and every day as we continue to build this life on that foundation of Jesus Christ. And dare I say, That's what Paul decided to do the day he had the Damascus Road experience. Saul of Tarsus going round up Christians and just deliver them over to the hands, persecute them, and he met Jesus on that road that day. And then we had, what was the fellow's name who had to go pray over Saul? Can anybody remember his name? Ananias. Ananias was asked to go down and pray for Saul that he would receive his sight back, and he said that he was already showing him the things he would have to suffer for his name's sake. I'm just going to tell you, from day one, Paul knew there was going to be a cost. From day one, Paul knew there was going to be a cost, and Paul surrendered all to follow Jesus. So I'm going to ask you here today, guys, do you realize there's going to be a cost for following Jesus? I've been told that if I preach this, that people are going to get up and walk away. Are you going to get up and walk away today? I hope not. I like all you guys. But I got to tell you, I got to be truthful with you. Well, praise the Lord. This is the truth of God's Word. It's going to cost you everything, guys. You got to put it all on the altar. And that night that I got ready to put it all on the altar, you know, in my living room that night, I said, but Jesus, I just don't know that I can do this. He said, give it to me and I'll help you fix it. Give it to me and I'll help you fix it. And that's the thing. He'll fix up your family. He'll make it right. He'll begin to make it right. And some of them, you know, kind of refuse to go along for a while, but God has the power to bring them along in His own way, His own time. Okay? We got to trust Him. Just give it to Him, and He'll do what only He can do. So here's the deal, guys. For Paul, Holy Spirit, and I didn't say, you know, on this next slide, I didn't say the Holy Spirit. That wasn't a typo. Holy Spirit. I want you to know it's who He is. He's not an it. He's not a thing. He's not just a force. He is a He. He is the third member of the Godhead, the one God in three persons. Holy Spirit revealed to Paul that there was bondage awaiting him. It says whenever he had come to us, Agabus took his belt, wrapped it around him. And so says the Holy Spirit, whoever owns this belt, that's the way he's going to end up and be delivered into the hands of the Gentiles. So I want you to know, guys, that really was the Holy Spirit telling Agabus that, revealing that to Paul. Like, it was for real. And it did happen. But how about Paul? Same Holy Spirit had already purposed in Paul's heart to set his mind for Jerusalem. Look at the next slide there. Acts chapter 19, verse 21. When these things were accomplished, this is a couple chapters earlier, Paul purposed in the Spirit when he passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Now guys, some of you know the rest of the story. If you don't, we're going to get there eventually, but I'm just going to tell you that's exactly what happened. Wasn't exactly the ticket Paul was planning on getting. We're going to Thailand in a few weeks, and we bought tickets. We're not flying first class. We're flying coach, little tiny seat, and we had to buy the ticket. And I can tell you, they were expensive. But it's a whole lot easier ticket than what Paul had. Paul didn't realize his ticket was going to wind up being free, but it was going to cost him everything. He wound up going to Rome because he was a prisoner. He didn't know exactly how he was going to go, but the same Holy Spirit had already purposed in his heart, telling him, you're going to go to Jerusalem, and not only that, right after that, you're going to go to Rome. And so Paul said, yes, Lord, now I go. Now along the way, we've got the same Holy Spirit telling people like Agabus, tell him not to go, because if he goes, he's going to get caught. Now, I don't think the Holy Spirit was necessarily saying, tell him not to go. That was their heart. That the same Holy Spirit was saying, this man's going and you're not going to see him again. And that made him sad. Made him sad because, like, they like being together, right? We like being together here on Sunday, you know? And we hate to ever say goodbye to anybody, but sometimes God calls us away, and if He does, we need to be one in the Spirit on it. You see, the same Spirit that was also sending Jesus to Jerusalem back in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him, being Jesus, to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. You remember, there were people who tried to talk him out of that too. In fact, Peter was one of them. Peter said, "Oh no, Lord, that'll never happen to you." What did Jesus tell him? "Get behind me, Satan. For you don't want the things of God. You're wanting things of man." See, guys, whenever we surrender to Jesus, we may know the cost. We got to know it's going to cost us something. It's at times, suffering. How many of you have been through some suffering for Jesus? Cool thing about suffering for Jesus, way different than suffering for yourself. Now, I've been through some suffering for myself too. You know, and with that, there's always this regret. Whenever I've suffered for Jesus, you got him right by your side. And I can tell you, you know you're still doing the right thing. It's going to be okay. And that's where Paul's at. That's where Jesus was at. And now, that's where the rest of the church is going to have to be at with Paul. In John chapter 12, Jesus also, in this situation, had this experience as he was getting ready to go. And he said, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. And if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." He goes on to say his soul is very troubled. He said, "My soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Guys, that's what we're called. That is really what we are called to express whenever God is revealing to us that there is something ahead of us that's going to be tough. But we need to remain faithful. He's saying, you might even be troubled about it sometimes. Jesus was. But you follow through, because this is my purpose in your life. And look at what happened next with Jesus. "Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Man, I'm going to tell you, nothing glorified God like the day that Jesus gave his life on that cross. Except the third day when Jesus rose again. And so whenever we got that dark day ahead of us, I want you to remember 3 days later, Jesus rose. The victory's been won. And so, guys, we get to fight from victory. We don't have to fight, really, for victory. Jesus has already won the victory. That's what Paul knew. It says, you know, so kind of the last slide there, last thought. "Therefore, Paul went to Jerusalem and then to Rome." And you know, you can hear his heart here. He loved them. He didn't want to have to say goodbye, guys, but he knew it was God's will for him to do what God had purposed for him to do. "What do you mean? Weeping and breaking my heart." I'm going to tell you, when you step out to follow God, sometimes it's other Christians be the first ones to try to hold you back. Because they love you. Don't look down on them for it. A lot of times they just love you, and they don't understand that you've really been called by God. I remember whenever we left the last church that we were in, it was just hard because we were close to some of the people there. You know, a lot of them, really close to, served with them, prayed with them, done a lot of things together. A couple of them didn't talk to me for a while. I'd see them and they were almost kind of mad at me. They just didn't understand. It wasn't my choice. God's choice. A couple of them lived in my own house. I got a daughter smiling back here. She's pretty mad at me for a while. And finally, you know, we just sat down and talked about it. She's just a little thing. She got separated from all of her friends. It was tough. It comes with a cost. But I just asked her, I said, "Honey, do you believe that God called me to do this, called us to do this? Would you want me to disobey him?" And we all decided no. It still wasn't easy, and it ain't going to be. But we still need to obey God, because it'll always be best. God wants us to finish that tower. Paul had to finish that tower. And I'm going to tell you, he finished that tower right up to the point that he put his head on the chopping block. And you know what? This ain't in the Bible, but it is part of church history, which is reliable. One of his executioners was led to the Lord that day. I want you to think about that. Paul was still witnessing for Jesus. In fact, he wrote in Philippians, he said, the whole imperial guard is hearing about Jesus right now. This has worked out for my good. We just need to say, yes, Lord. We need to put the whole life on the altar. We need to know it's going to cost us some, even if we don't know everything. Just be willing. That's what Paul did. Aren't you glad he did it? We got the New Testament today. 2/3 of the letters in the New Testament came from Paul. Praise God, he was willing. Now the question is, are we going to be willing? God may he may call you to change a lot of stuff. I'm going to tell you, calling me to change a whole lot of stuff in my life and a whole lot less than a lot of other people I know. There's some that have had to change a lot more. He's still got freedom to do whatever he wants. We need to give him willing freedom in our life to say, I want you to change this. And when he puts his finger on it, we need to say, yes, Lord. And then whenever he's done with that, I can tell you he ain't done. Then he'll put his finger on this in our life. And he'll say, okay, we need you to look at this too. And that's when we need to say, yes, Lord. Okay, now son, I want you to move here. I want you to pick your whole family up. This is where I'm going to move you. But Jesus, that's going to hurt. But son, come on. We just need to do it. And even if they're weeping when we go, I think we better say yes. Because what we're doing is we're really choosing to follow God for what is best. We've got to trust Him. He'll never lead you wrong. The question is, have you made that first step? That's really the hardest one. After that, it becomes more natural. As you walk with Jesus and you're in His Word, it'll become more natural to make your decisions according to what He says. That first step's the toughest one. Just really putting your whole life on the altar and saying, here I am, Lord. I give you everything I am and everything I have today. Be my Lord. Save me. If you haven't done that, I invite you to come up and do it today. Say, God, I'm sorry. I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me, and I want to give my life to Jesus today. Be my Lord. I can tell you, He's real, and He'll meet you there. Guaranteed. And the rest of it is going to be an amazing ride. God's got a good plan. Let's give it to Him right now. Dear Father, we just come to you today. And we say, you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our worship. You are worthy of our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Let none of us hold our lives back from you. You deserve everything we have and everything we are. Let it be our worship today. In Jesus' name, amen.